Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Super Paint, Super Deck, and Woodscapes products June 12th through the 22nd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours. It is draft day. Are you excited? This is Christmas, Lance?
Oh, just this is Christmas. Just
yeah.
Absolute Christmas. Once a And the Texans are rumored to be trading, attempting to do some work to see about trading up.
Mm-hmm.
So what we may see is the Texans actually make a pick in the first round. They've explored back. I've talked to teams who they talked to. And now they are exploring up. And at 7:30, I'm going to have your trade targets for the Texans.
At 7:30, everybody.
At 7:30, after the 7:30 break, which means 7:39, because
right.
We'll be late to that break.
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the 7:30-ish, in the 7:30-ish segment,
yeah.
I will have four potential targets that the Texans could be looking at in all different positions.
Well, I've seen defensive line is probably... Right.
You'd be surprised.
Four different positions.
Yep. And two of them are on offense.
Wow.
Three of them are on offense, actually.
Do you think Nick works like that?
I think Nick works like getting the best player available.
Oh, that's what BPA, baby.
That's right.
BPA.
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 He's trying to get the best player available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's the SEC of general managers. BPA. BPA.
He's the SEC.
Well, at least we have the chant like the SEC.
Well, we have a chant. That's really. What? Yeah. Well, yeah. And the SEC of general managers means, not very good. So I shouldn't say that because I think Nick is, generally above average. Look at the SEC. This is the lowest I've seen them getting draft picks. Like, they're going to have about 8 draft picks in the first round. This is insanely low for the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Their first pick off the board won't be until Mansoor Delane, which could be after 10. The first SEC pick.
This era of everybody being able to pay is just taking – it's just sucked the life out of the SEC.
Well,
everybody can pay now, not just them.
Yeah, it's the portal. It's – Yeah, I'm drafting now. These guys would not have been draft picks, but I'm. It's weird because I am going to be. I write up players like it's amazing how many wide receivers I write up now for the draft that were Alabama wide receivers. Malik Benson started there from Oregon, Kendrick Law from Kentucky. Now these are day three wide receivers, but Kendrick Law from was a Nick Saban wide receiver from Kentucky. Malik Benson from Oregon, as I mentioned, and. That's not it. Like, I'd have to go dig it up, but there's plenty of players who are leaving. I don't see as many leave Georgia. I don't read as many people who leave Georgia. Mostly it's just, frankly, Alabama. I don't read a lot who leave LSU either, who end up becoming players. But, Alabama's recruited a ton of 4-stars and some 5-stars, and when they don't make it there, they don't play there, they go somewhere else. But they've still got physical talent. They wouldn't be a 4 or 5-star. So, yeah, it's I don't know. It's and it just may just be one of these little dips in the road. It probably is that. But it's probably a dip in the road a little bit. Now, because Sonny Styles is homegrown from Ohio State. Caleb Downs is homegrown. Arvell Reese. Those are all and Carnell Tate. They all started at Ohio State and stayed
Caleb
there
Downs
the whole time.
Started at Alabama.
He transferred
once Saban retired.
You're right. He was a Bama guy too. That's right. Caleb Downs, Bama guy. So there's an SEC player lost. You're right. Good call.
Well, aren't they still SEC players since they originated there?
It's kind of like A&M. You know, once you're there, always you're there.
You're
like,
always
you don't
there.
Say former Aggie. He's Alabama, SEC guy's probably going to claim him and say,
oh, yeah,
Caleb Downs is ours. He's SEC.
Yeah, we
birthed him.
Well,
we birthed
yeah,
him.
Right.
You know
exactly.
Yeah.
And you left the house. You know,
SEC!
Left the nest.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an important day. It's one of the most important days in sports, the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with complete sincerity. This is a day where new suits are launched, where we see touching moments with families. People who have worked really hard on their draft stuff get to finally show out with sweet suits on TV.
Oh, you mean people like you?
Well, just, you know, yeah, in the general vicinity, I guess, adjacent, whatever.
I'm just generally.
I'm looking
to. Oh.
Now, you may need to have
you got your
Calvin internet Murphy connection.
Suit.
I didn't wear it yesterday. I did not wear it yesterday. It's still hanging up. It's still hanging up. So far, the wardrobe people have not picked that out for me to wear up to this point. I think they're a little nervous about it.
I may just
put it out in their faces and say, let's get this going.
Okay. I don't know how you're going to compete, though, with the dream team that ESPN has put together.
Okay.
Greenberg, Kirk. Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce, Stephen A., and Nate Burleson. It's just a dream team.
No, that's not their
main team. No, that's an
two
alternate.
Different sets.
That's an alternate, right.
Oh, that's right. They do all the alternate.
Yeah.
And no, is McAfee on one of them?
McAfee's probably on the main one.
Yeah, McAfee's. Yeah, because he's on College Game Day.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
He might be. Well, now they got. Now they got Daniel Jeremiah starting.
You can't have an event without McAfee. You can't have the Masters.
I know. There's nothing you can do without Pat McAfee.
It's impossible.
It's really so. Just a little peek inside my world. It's really kind of hitting home how different this is going to be when I'm here. They told, you know, Bucky Brooks is with me on the NFL side. We're considered the NFL, so certain producers are on the ESPN side, certain producers are staying behind on the NFL side. Once May 1st hits, nobody from the NFL side can do anything with NFL Network anymore. So Path to the Draft, that's my last one I'll ever do because that's an ESPN property. So Path to the Draft is what I've done the last – we did it live 5 to 6, and then it replayed. So from 5 to 6, I've been on the last 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then I'd been on every Friday for, I guess, the 3 weeks prior. And it's a one-hour live show. And
hire you, though?
Well, because I didn't get brought over. But my contract originally is with – I do more stuff with the digital side. I do NFL.com. My live draft stuff is on, you know, it just makes sense. And frankly, it's probably better I'm not because there's already a lot of draft talent over there. They got Jordan Reed. They got, you know, Matt Miller. They got a lot of guys over there. NFL Digital, we're going to keep, like, the NFL side, we now have the NFL, the owners, the NFL, everything that they own NFL.com, they own NFL Plus, and they have got what they call the Fast Channel, which is free ad-supported TV, which is what you watch, right? So that's on your Rokus, that's on your smart TVs. When you see the NFL channel, that's where you'll be able to see my broadcast version of the 3 days of the draft. And so one of the guys I met yesterday who's one of the producers, I've, you know, texted back and forth and I met him and we were talking, and he said on May 1st, Bucky Brooks cannot do Path to the Draft. He's one of the main guys on Path to the Draft. The last Path to the Draft on next Friday is on May 1st, I guess, and Bucky Brooks can't do it because he doesn't work for ESPN. They have to have somebody who works for ESPN doing that. So I am no longer going to be on anything NFL Network related and won't be working with any of these producers I've worked with for, you know, the better part of 12 years. Daniel Jeremiah, who I do a lot of stuff with behind the scenes. We talk about players, etc. Do some Move the Sticks. You know, they're not going to. I don't know what's going to happen with Move the Sticks, their podcast. So it's going to be a strange thing. When I come to the building, though, next year, if I come, I don't know if they'll even have me come in unless we're doing our own shows. They have to create their own shows. If I even come in, I still go to the NFL Network building. It's just some of it is going to be NFL media rooms and, you know, offices, and some of them are ESPN. So it's kind of a strange deal here because ESPN has now taken over that, you know, that building. So whenever I go, every day I have to check in for security. I got it like brand new, just like every single day, and get a security badge. And who are you with? Are you with ESPN? Are you with Disney? Like, no, I'm with NFL.
Oh, I'm like, oh, ooh, you're not long for here. Do they just give you a temporary badge?
Mm-hmm.
They do?
Every day. They say, bring this back at the end of the day. Don't keep it.
Yeah, because you're going to get
it
tomorrow.
I'm like, all right, wow. I get free snacks in here. I'm already just stashing a bunch of snacks in my backpack. This is it. I'm loading up Cheez-Its. I'm getting chips. I'm going to have, you know, everything I can throw in there. Not fruit. That's boring.
I don't like Cheez-Its. I don't know.
Oh, Cheez-Its are the best. No. It's delicious.
I don't eat zits.
Let's get to another very important story. We may have found our ace.
Peter Lambert.
Yeah, we may have found an ace here in Houston.
Peter Lambert is the ship, okay?
So one of the guys just I've so been talking know. About, is I've targeted him as being the... For me personally, I've been like, wait till y'all see Lambert.
Yeah. No, you did never said that. You were like, who is and what is a Peter Lambert? Why is he on our team? He's got a 9 ERA.
I think that is a quote you're using, the direct quote.
Yes. Why in the world did we pick up this guy and look at what he does?
This is one of my guys. Is it Peter or Paul Lambert?
Peter Lambert.
Peter Paul.
Yeah, I've been a big Peter Lambert guy for a while.
Yeah.
We call him Pete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, P Dog. There's different nicknames for him. Lil Petey.
P Money.
11 innings. Lil Petey. Lil Petey.
Yeah.
Pete Rock. Pete Nice. There's a lot of things we call him. And I prefer Pete Nice.
But I like Pete Lamb.
Pete Lamb.
Yep. Pete Lamb. Ooh. Pete Lamb.
Plam.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. 11 innings and 16 strikeouts so far in two
Bert.
Games.
Bert. No, that's the worst.
That's not P Bert.
No, he just said Bert.
Bert.
That's not.
What up,
Bert? If you know him well.
Yeah, if you know him, but good enough.
Or they call him Elbert. No, that doesn't sound cool at all.
No. That's
no. Good. So here's what he's done. This isn't very Astro-like. He's given up in two starts. We'll just throw away the 4 runs in the first one.
Okay.
He's given up no home runs, walk 4, struck out 16 in 11 innings. This is why Pete Nice is my dog. This is why he's my road dog, because I can count on him to go in there and start wrecking Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I've been, like I said, this has been one of my guys to kind of target. I put this out on my Astros newsletter I send out.
Newsletter?
You don't get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a newsletter.
Is it a Substack?
It's a Substack. It's a, what's the other one that you can do?
I don't know. A blog.
It's like a Substack. Yeah, it's like a Patreon.
Oh, you got an Astros Patreon.
I got an Astros
Patreon.
What
do I get if I'm a patron of your Patreon?
You're going to get...
At the $5 tier, $15 tier, what do I get?
Well, you're going to get feet pictures.
No, I want Astros baseball. Why am I getting feet pictures?
Oh, well, you're going to get some different numbers.
Okay.
Because he likes pretty feet.
No, but
you're get some numbers.
I'm the customer. He said he's going to give me Astros stuff. Now he's talking about feet.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff you're getting. You're getting... different graphics and AI stuff. You're getting some different some numbers that I've put together, some different analytics, and you're going to get some predictions. You'll get some minor league reports, some feet pictures. There's going to be a lot of stuff in there.
Why do you keep sneaking in feet pictures?
What did you think of Kevin Alvarez's 2 triples yesterday?
Who's that?
He's their number one prospect. I mean, Lance.
You're stupid, Dale. You must not get the – send an email to me. Lance.
Well, I haven't got that information. That's why I got to sign up to the Patreon.
Yeah, got to sign up.
You got to sign up to the Patreon if you want to do that. And then we're going to go to a Substack also, but I'm waiting for them to make me a good offer, the Substack people.
The Substack people?
No, there are no Substack people. It's a subscription-based
thing. I've got whoever I know, but they want me on their platform. They're going to have to come up with some money.
Yeah, no cheese.
No, what?
They got to come up with the cheese.
Did I come up with signing bonus or something?
Yeah. Why are you not on the video today?
Yeah, because you're sniffling. Is that why?
I just did. I just popped up.
Now he pulls up the camera.
I just pulled up. You told me to come through. I just came
pull
through.
Up. All right. It is. Let's stay on. We got Texans news. All right, in the 39th to 40 somewhere.
I'm going
to
tell you
there.
The four players
four
who
players
the Texans could
Lance
be targeting if they trade up. One of these will be the answer.
One of them will be the answer, you promise.
If they trade up.
Okay. If they trade up. If they trade up.
Yeah.
Nick don't sit on his hands now. Okay. Uh-huh. He's working out there. He ain't messing around. He's gonna do something either.
No,
move
no,
up
no,
or
no.
Down.
Let me tell you, he's known. We talked about it on our on path to the draft. I think it was yesterday. Nick Caserio is not afraid to move up and down. Now
nope.
he does a lot of wheeling and dealing. Nick yep. really does.
All right, let's break. Let's talk Zadig Jewelers, and then we've got a lot to do. We'll actually talk some serious. Well, there's a couple of stories out there today that we've got to get to for sure. Don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5. Let's talk a little Zadig Jewelers right now.
Zadig Jewelers has been a jeweler here in Houston for 5 decades. And they've actually been on Post Oak the whole time. They just, you know, relatively recently switched over to their new spot. It's beautiful. It's at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. I need to go on whenever I get back because it's beautiful. You can find something special for the one you love for Mother's Day, Valentine's. Well, Valentine's over, but birthdays, anniversaries, push gifts when your wife has a new child. This is something a lot of people will do, a push gift. Say, hey, thank you for the 9 months and how difficult pregnancy can be, and I appreciate it. There's a lot of different ways that you can say thank you. Sometimes you just want to get a special gift, just say I love you. You've got everything there, anything and everything. If you want to go big and get a big gift that is going to blow her away and be a memory to last forever, and frankly, every gift from Zadig is going to last forever when it comes to the memories. Zadig has got you. Zadig can make sure that they'll work with your budget. They'll work with the occasion, whatever the occasion is, to find the perfect setting, the perfect ring, the perfect necklace or pendant or tennis bracelet to make sure that she gets the message. And when she sees the Zadig box, I promise you, she's going to be excited. Over 28,000 square feet and just loads of unbelievable workers there who understand the process and every designer and what's hot and what is going to really pop for her, and they're going to make you look like a star. Zadig Jewelers, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, Zadig.com.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow. So, I don't know that it's the most, but it was a little shocking to me here to hear Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel is going to miss day 3 of the draft. He is going to seek counseling. He wants to be a better father, husband. He said some things are more important than, so he's going to miss day 3 of the NFL draft to go seek counseling. Well, the New York Times, they decided, we're going to print some more pictures. Mike Vrabel and Diana Rossini having breakfast together.
See, they knew, he must have known some of this was coming. I didn't know what happened. I just got a text late last night that says the New York Times, was it New York Post?
The Post.
Times. It's a Post, yeah. Said New York Post clearly has it in for Diana Rossini. And I didn't know what that was referring to, but this must be what it's referring to.
Yeah.
It's just, man. You won. You beat her.
Yeah. Well,
you're not going to beat Mike Vrabel, but you did. You beat Diana.
Beat him in a counseling.
Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel is losing badly in his home right now.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. It's not going to be a good situation.
No, that's going to be a bad
one. I asked this question because my show is full of nonsense. I asked this question yesterday. When's the first time that Mike Vrabel can be seen laughing in public again? Like, if you watch that presser, you know, and we played the sound, he's a little downtrodden. He's got a be the guy who's taking accountability and, look, I got a problem, and fix it, so on. That's why we're going to miss day three of the draft. When can he be seen laughing again?
Never.
Like, he can't sit down to one of those podcasts he might do. He can't go on Bussing with the Boys. He can't hang out with those. He can't hang out with those guys. This offseason. Not this offseason.
No, you don't want to do that, because they're gonna feel the pressure to ask something, and they're not gonna do it, and they'll get blasted. So yeah, you may be right.
So is he gonna talk like the media talks to, like, players after they lose, when that particularly in, like, baseball clubhouses, where they go, "So, Jose, it was a tough day out there. A couple pitches you wish you got back." Is he gonna be talking in that tone until what, mini camp? Like, when is Mike Vrabel going to be Mike Vrabel again?
It's going to be a while.
Oh, in the building, he's...
You think?
Yeah, in the building, he's already Vrabel. I mean, no. I think he's going to be... No, you're probably right. My guess is he's kind of... Like, maybe he doesn't want to be overly critical of guys, but they're also not playing football right now. Like, there's not football players for him to get after. So, but I don't get the sense that he's going to, like... They say Vrabel takes stuff on pretty head on. that's what I heard. So I don't know. Now, just from a personal, you know, from a marital standpoint, yeah, I don't know. I can only imagine that with the kids and the wife. That's going to be.
I don't know rough. That. I don't know. You know, they love him there, and they were just ecstatic about what happened last year. But I don't know that this doesn't end him there. I'm not sure that you know that he can. I mean, he's already going to counseling now, and at some point it might be like he's like, "I'm too much of a distraction," or, you know, it you know what, I gotta get my life together.
What do you? I mean, this is a news cycle thing. We gotta remember this stuff goes away. If you wait it out, it all goes away.
What stories do we have of NFL head coaches cheating on their wives publicly?
Yeah. What's that?
What public stories do we have of NFL coaches cheating on their allegedly cheating on their wives?
Sharon Moore.
That's not an NFL
head
coach.
Yeah, guess what?
Oh, not NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Sharon's stuff went crazy.
But he,
he was on the run from the cops.
Well, right. This is different. So why are you comparing it to that?
Well, I'm saying, I mean, and that went away.
Well, he lost his job.
No, it didn't. He's not working.
No, the story only stays. We've had crazy stuff going on with Trump. It goes away. It goes away fast nowadays.
That is fine about the story, but. The question remains, this is a unique thing in the NFL, at least public. Whatever you know behind the scenes, someone might know. But this is not something we've heard of publicly before.
Okay, is it criminal?
No.
Do you see pictures and that's it? Like,
no, but this you is got, not but there's stay. A team at, you know, and there's a looking at your head coach and, you know.
You think players are saying, "I can't believe he got caught with pictures with Diana Russini."
I think you look at him differently now. Yes. Looks at him differently now.
The owner was, they've had, if this is New England we're talking about, guys, major, major issues with whether or not they cheated on stuff. Like, they've had major
Lance,
stuff go down. We
have
don't have
co-
with the
we
owner.
Have a coach
you had
in
an
city.
Owner
yeah.
who
we
was.
We have a coach in this city who lost the job, and he wasn't even married to the woman. Who he cheated on. Now it has something to do internally with people inside the Celtics building. That's different. But it's not crazy to say that an organization might say you're doing something untoward that doesn't represent us.
Let me tell you, they think that he is the dude. Yeah. He just went to a Super Bowl. If you think New England
E-May
is
was
getting
in the
rid of
in the finals
Mike
and he got
Vrabel?
Fired. E-May was in the finals.
Hold on. You know how much stuff that Bill Belichick went through, right?
Yes.
All that stuff. You know what the owner got busted for. You guys think that these pictures
say it's
in
going
the New
happen.
York Post are going to end
I,
him?
I
just
say
think
it's
you guys are really...
No, I didn't say that. I said there's a possibility. Good Lord, Lance.
Yeah, and I'm
no
telling
one said
you,
he's getting
think,
fired, but,
I don't think
but
there's any
he's looked at differently now, and I'm not so sure that at some point, you know, that he might go, you know what? It's too much. I need to fix my house. I need to. I am not the same guy in this building now. Ba ba ba. There's a chance that this just doesn't go away. Just doesn't go away.
The news story will go away. Now
I don't know.
This is my point. There's two
is this
points,
not
John.
Always something that you're going? Diana Russini is always going to be tied to Mike Vrabel now. Always.
It doesn't matter. Ime Udoka's coaching again. We don't. You can make your jokes. It's not. He's still coaching. He's not going to have any impact on the Rockets.
But he had to go somewhere else.
But that was a major. There was a difference there. Is somebody inside the building, and there may have been something else. Matt Barnes said it was so bad that he, like Matt Barnes, went out there and said, "This is really bad. What happened?" And yeah. I don't know what it was. He never said what it was, but Matt Barnes came out and said it was really, really bad. I just know this much. We're talking about a guy with tremendous success, and I know Ime also. I just think the news cycle – now what you're saying, John, now those are two different things. It could be where his personal life with his wife – I don't think the fact that he's a story – the news cycle goes away. It's going to go away faster. Yeah, will it always be out there? It'll be out there in the ether, but it's not going to be a primary story. Diane Rossini's not even working anywhere anymore. You know, you can try to hit on – but. The football season's going to start. It's like people are not going to have any appetite for that stuff. It's like, yeah, we've already heard it. But you did bring up the point. The one thing that could get him is if the home life is so detrimental and it has such an impact on Vrabel with his kids and wife and all that. Now that, the fallout, I don't think the news cycle is going to get him. I think the fallout, yeah, you could be right about that. Because you just never know how that stuff happens.
That's what I said. I said this is. I don't know that this is over. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, he's already come out and he's going to miss day three of the NFL draft because he has to go to counseling. The pictures came out this morning in the New York Post of he and Rossini, and Rossini looks rough now. No makeup. It wasn't like. Let me get gussied up here to go to breakfast with Mike Vrabel. They crawled out of bed. I'm not sure they crawled out of the same bed. I'm not saying that. But they crawled out of bed and went to breakfast. Okay? So, and by the way, how stupid are you? You're a famous, you both have some fame, and you're having breakfast in the morning together. I mean, at a resort. I don't know. And now he's got to go. I thought the whole thing, when he came out and said, "Listen, I'm not even going to give it any credence whatsoever, blah, 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 blah. And now I need to go see counseling?" I mean.
Well, because he was shooting down the story, trying to kill the story off, probably for home life and for
everything.
But now that it's kind of gone sideways, I think there was clearly somebody there who may have been a PI. I know Dell brought that up. There's a chance because some of the pictures that were taken were from distance and some were from close. So it almost feels like it's, coordinated. But
Diana Rossini keeps talking about how average her husband is. Maybe not. He's a little smarter than you think, Diana. Hiring a private investigator to follow you around.
Yeah, I gotta break it here so we can come back and I can give you the Texans. That was our Diana Rossini and Mike Vrabel segment.
Yep.
But I mean, for some reason, these pictures won't come up on this.
If you go to our rundown, the link is from the New York Post.
Well, I've got the link. It's just for some reason, it's just the same old
pictures. Is your NFL computer saying, "We don't do that here around here"?
Oh, my God.
No, this is actually my personal computer.
Your NFL computer won't let you go to negative NFL stories?
Oh,
holy
look at this.
Crap, Roger.
On the same site. On the
Roger
same site
is
on
something.
New York Post,
he
says,
is something.
"Japanese men rarely need a blue pill. Here's why. It's from Men's Digest. I need to read up on my people while we're so virile."
All right. Let's take a quick one. When we come back, Lance is going to tell you exactly who the Texans are going to move up and pick next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. It's the moment you've been waiting for. All right, our preeminent draft expert, Lance Zierlein, has been breaking down what's going on. It is draft day, and there are rumors out there that the Houston Texans will be moving up in tonight's first round. Not back. Out of the first round, up in the first round. Apparently they're calling people. Maybe it's just a ploy. We'll see. But I don't know why you would want to get people excited about stuff and then just deflate them. I don't know why you would want to do that. But
you do wonder, like, I got it from a pretty good source, but Tom Pelissero had a was it yesterday or was it the day before? I think it was the day before when Tom Pelissero had it. I can't remember anymore.
I think it was yesterday. I saw it.
Yeah, it might have been yesterday. And so this is how this typically happens. general managers make calls before and after, and they and you're just feeling things out. Like, most of the times you're not serious about doing trades on the before the draft unless you are moving up specifically for quarterbacks. You want to get in position to be there for a quarterback or somebody that you consider a you know, really high-end blue-chip player. You want to see how the draft board goes. Because you don't want to trade up in advance and have your guy not be there. So you'd have to trade really, really high to assume that you're going to get your guy before the draft even happens. So what happens is you start making calls. And I remember Rick Smith, he had called in advance to Sashi Brown in 2017 and kind of had, you know, set the parameters of a potential deal if the Texans wanted to come up and trade up. We know they targeted Deshaun Watson, obviously, because they made the trade. So Rick had already had kind of a soft deal in place with Sashi, like, hey, if, you know, if your guys aren't there, we want to move up from wherever the Texans were up to number 12 and make a pick. This is what the parameters look like. And Sashi was, okay, good. Well, that sounds good. We'll look at it on draft day. But, yeah, I think we got a deal if that happens. And so you're already doing that. So you want an idea of where you can go, what it will cost, who your potential trade partners are going to be. And then you see how the board shakes up. Because remember, the Texans are at 28. They're way back. So if the Texans make a big move up, an aggressive move up into the middle of the first round, going from 28 to you know, anywhere from 14 to 17, for example. I'm looking at draft trade. Because I'm going to give you an idea of what it's going to cost. that is a big move to go from 28 to up to the middle. So the cost on that would be, let's see, 660. Well, now,
keep in mind they have 28 and 38.
Correct. That would definitely. But you'd hate to have to give up both of those. But you might have to. So if you made a move all the way up to, let's make it the Jets at 16. Okay, we'll just hit the midpoint. The Jets at 16. That's worth 1,000 points. The Texans are worth 660, so they'd have to give up 440. So, yeah, I mean, they'd have to give up 38, and then they might get one of the Jets. You might get a
fifth or sixth or something.
Maybe a fourth from the Jets in exchange. Yeah, probably a high fourth, like the 103rd pick. So you'd probably have to give up pick number 38.
I mean, 103rd pick.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the earliest
how much,
picks
okay,
in the fourth
round. So give us the okay. Why would this be? How much better is that 14th pick going to be than the 28th?
Okay, so I'll give you an example. So you're going for you're right now you're sniffing around because you have at least one, if not multiple targets. And what? So everyone's thinking that they're going for like one player at one spot in the draft. But they're probably trying to find multiple potential landing spots for multiple different players. It could be no more than two. But I'm going to bring up the first guy, and I've mentioned him here on the radio. And you guys have been the only ones. I have not mentioned this nationally at all. But I recently had a phone call just last week that the Texans have done a lot of work on KC Concepcion, the wide receiver from Texas A&M. That was a little surprising to me because when you look at the construct of the Texans, you know we have Jaden Higgins on the outside. You have Nico Collins. The thought is Tank Dell will be back at some point, but he's in the last year of his contract. And then you have Jalen Noel, who you drafted last year, who is a slot and obviously a return specialist. So that was curious. And it wasn't just a one-off. There was there was a little bit of work done on him, more than normal, I think. Especially so late in the process. So that was interesting. And
Hold on a second. I'm looking at Daniel Jeremiah, who is not a preeminent draft expert, but
he's pretty good.
He's got
KC. He did one time. Hold on. He also one time had the Texans drafting. He also had C.J. Stroud at 2, and then in his final mock had the Texans trading up to number 3 for Will Anderson. So keep that in mind when DJ
says. Well, he's got KC Concepcion at 24.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
is KC, first of all, from some stuff, whatever, KC has dropped a little bit?
No. He hasn't. I think KC Concepcion could, that's about where we've been putting him, frankly, somewhere in the 20s. It's KC Concepcion, though, could go higher than that. So KC Concepcion is one guy I think that they could be taking a look at because he could really unlock that offense. This could be a situation where they say, we're going to have three wide receivers that we think we have a huge advantage, And Casey Concepcion can really uncover, and we think he's just going to set this offense off and really give C.J. Stroud an incredible weapon. I don't think you have to get up to 16 where the Jets are, 15 where Tampa is. So he's one guy you can look at. But, yes, if Carolina, the earliest I place him is Carolina at 19. If they don't have to get, and Carolina is rumored to want to move up for an offensive tackle. If you don't have to move up into, the less you have to move up, the better in terms of the draft capital you have to give up in addition. That's one player that the Texans could be targeting is Casey Concepcion, but I think he would be somewhere between 19 or maybe even 18. Keep in mind, Minnesota needs, they still need some draft capital, so it could be between, and their biggest need is defensive tackle, and there's not a first-round defensive tackle on the board. So Minnesota could be a trade-up spot, number 18. Keep that one in mind. The second player, interestingly enough, Minnesota at 18, is, and this kind of just came to me yesterday, was Keldrick Falk from Auburn. And the reason I started thinking about Keldrick Falk is, you know what? Keldrick Falk's body type, so this is a player who's like 6'7". He's 270. He was weighed 272 at the combine. He really plays around close to the 280 range. You look at his body type, he's not real physically defined yet. In other words, he has room to get into the 290s with muscle really easily. He's gonna be a much bigger frame. He is a very athletic defensive end who can't really rush and beat people with speed because he's long levered. He's over 34-inch arms, but the problem is he's not really a true defensive end as a rusher. He's more his body type. There's three players I thought of, and it's Eric Armstead coming out of Oregon, DeForest Buckner coming out of Oregon. Both of those guys went to San Francisco. You know who was in San Francisco when they were there? That would be D'Amico Ryans. Do you know who D'Amico Ryans tried to bring into Houston whenever he was at San Francisco, but he ended up going to Jacksonville? That would be Eric Armstead. D'Amico tried to get him here in Houston. Do you know who D'Amico Ryans coveted 2 years ago and brought in? Danico Autry, who's like 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", and 200, and when he came out, he was 270-something. He plays in the high 280s, low 290s. The same type of player who can play base end and then reduce down and rush inside. So base end meaning, where Will Anderson would play a power end type who can help stop the run. And then on third downs or in passing downs, you rush from inside where your athletic advantage gives you your athleticism.
That would
gives you
be
an advantage
interesting,
over
though, too. I mean, it's adding power to a power position. You know, it's strengthening a position that you're already the best in the league.
Well, where at the edge. So this is where he's a hybrid. So this is the thing. If he grows to be 290 pounds, with that, which I think is possible, John, what he is, or even 289, 285, he's your Danico Autry again. I know you have Logan Hall, but that's really it's a $9 million of guaranteed money over 2 years. So really, he might just be a 1 year player. He's not a long term solution. What you could be looking at is a backup for Will Anderson who comes in or who could also start for Will Anderson if Will Anderson got hurt. So you have Keldrick Falk could be a base end on a backup base end, and then on third downs he could be a sub-package rusher where he comes into games and rushes from inside. Now, he needs to still get better. There's still work he has to do, but he's young, and here's something you need to know. Phenomenal work ethic, hard-charging player. Great leadership. He is swarm. So he's got the body type D'Amico Ryans likes. You got the history of seeing D'Amico Autry, who was a very similar player when he was coming out. So Keldrick Falk, and also it just so happens that Minnesota, he fits what they're looking for too, a hybrid type of player for Brian Flores' defense. So Minnesota drafts number 18. This could be an interesting spot where they try to get up to, pick number 17, pick number 16, and pick Falk, so he could be in play. The next one is the one that all the fans want, and this is an interesting one, and it's Kenyon Sadiq, the Oregon tight end. Sadiq famously ran a blazing 40 time. This is a guy who has a beach body, just unbelievable body type, ripped, huge legs. He's a tight end slash H-back. What I consider him is like a Trey McBride type from, and you remember him ripping up the Texans this year, from the Arizona Cardinals. All fantasy football owners know him for sure. High volume tight end who is kind of more like an H-back. He's not really a guy that's going to just line up in line and block and be your standard tight end. Kenyon Sadiq would be someone who is a one-of-one prospect in this draft. There's no other tight ends that are like him. I've always felt like he was going to go a little higher than people thought. I think Baltimore at 14 and Tampa at 15 are very real spots for him. The farthest he falls would be 19 to Carolina. So if the Texans wanted to try to unlock their offense by going with a quote-unquote third wide receiver that also happens to allow them to play more 12 tight end settings, 12 personnel groups with two tight ends on the field, so where you can run out of it or you can throw, because Kenyon Sadiq is a 4.4 40 tight end and weighing in the 240s, just incredibly explosive athlete. He could be one. Now, you're going to have to get up there pretty far. It's going to cost you your second rounder for sure to get up as high as you would need to get Kenyon Sadiq. And the last player, and this wouldn't take quite as high a jump, I'm going to name two of them. Now, I don't have them connected with the Texans, except Blake Miller did come in for a 20 or come in for a top 30 visit. Monroe Freeling didn't. When I talked to Freeling's agent, he doesn't list the Texans as a team who has done a ton of, who has shown the most interest on him. But these two tackles would make some sense for the Texans, Blake Miller and Monroe Freeling. Both of them, I look for demeanor first, right? Swarm guys. So both of these guys have a little bit of nasty in them. Blake Miller has 54 career starts. He's the most experienced starter in college football, an offensive tackle, obviously, is a five-year player. He is athletic. He can really move. He plays a little upright, so you don't expect him to move as well as he does. Long arm player, got a little attitude, can step right in and start. Upside's a little limited, like he's kind of who he's going to be, I think. but he could be someone who fits slots into the right tackle spot pretty quickly, can probably swing between left and right tackle early on. Monroe Freeling is going to be a target because he is one of the only true left tackle prospects in this draft from Georgia. So I was just thinking, maybe the Texans look at drafting him, making him a left tackle, and moving Ursary back to the right side where they got bookend tackles for years and years. So those would be the players. Casey Concepcion, who they did some late work on. Falk, who is really a fit for the type of defensive lineman D'Amico Ryans is used to and who has coveted, and in his football personality and football character, really fit the Texans from a swarm standpoint. Kenyon Sadiq, who gives you an enormous mismatch advantage out of the second tight end spot, and you can move him all over the field. And then you've got, if you wanted to go offensive line, which I don't think you have to move up into the middle of the first round, but I do think you probably need to move up into probably with Blake Miller. It's hard to say because there's a landmine. So you got 19 could be looking at tackle, 21 the Pittsburgh Steelers will be looking at tackle, 22 the Philadelphia Eagles will be looking at tackle. There's a lot of offensive line. There's going to be a lot of offensive linemen to come off the board in the 20. So if you wanted to go offensive line, I would make that. I'm probably putting that one down the list. I think Concepcion, Falk, and Sadiq are the three that you most would be looking for. So hopefully that helps out who they could be looking to trade up for, because I don't know who it is. You're going to have one target for sure. You may have two different targets with two different spots on the board. So those are some names to look for.
There it is. You got it. The preeminent draft expert right here on ESPN 97.5. That's it. That's it. That's it. Four. You got them. And now you know you're going to be informed tonight. Or they'll just stay where they are and draft whomever. One of those. Or they'll trade back. One of those.
We know they're going to do one thing, John.
There's three options. Move up, stay where they are, move back.
But what are they going to do whenever they get there?
Draft someone.
Dell, what do the Texans do when they draft?
BPA. BPA. BPA.
That's what they do.
BPA.
They BPA it. Okay?
That's what they do.
You've already heard Nick say that. Quit messing around and acting like they're just going to take any old player.
Yep.
They're going to just draft a particular position. They're not going to do that, John.
No.
What are they going to do? They draft BPA. The best player available.
All right. 713-780-3776. We'll talk Rockets on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.